Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bamatsiya Daf Kuf Beis. We are holding on Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Beis. We are at the Mishnah on the bottom of the page of Kuf Aleph Amud Beis. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, an honor of his wife and children, Alan English, plus his mother, called the Basimcha Allah Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should all return home safely. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. What we're going to talk about today is the following. First of all, the Mishnah is going to talk about on the bottom of Kuf Aleph Amud Beis what the Maskir and Socher are each responsible for in the house, what they each have to pay for in the house. The Gemara is going quote a brisa that gives more details in terms of what they're each responsible to pay for, and the Gemara is going to discuss what about mezuzah, whose responsibility is it to put up a mezuzah. Then the Gemara is going to discuss that the Mishnah mentions something about the zevel shel balabayis, that the manure in the courtyard of the house belongs to the balabayis. So what exactly are the circumstances with which that zevel ended up in the courtyard, where A, it's true that it belongs to the balabayis, and B, I need the Mishnah to tell me that it belongs to the balabayis. It seems that however you set up the case, it's going to be obvious one way or another. And that's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion about chatzeru shel adam konalo shalomi daito. Is it true that a person's chatzer can be kona on his behalf even without his knowledge of it? That's going to be the sheet of Rabbi Yisrael B'Chanina, and the Gemara is going to question that from several different places. So that's going to be the major sugya of Amud Aleph. And then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to discuss whether a renter is entitled to the extra month in the Shana Mu'uberes. You rent a house for a year, turns out there are 13 months that year. So who's responsible? Does the renter rather get a free month out of it, or do we assume that it's a month by month payment? The Gemara is going to talk about what if you weren't so clear in your language of the agreement. You said a dollar a month, $12 for the year. So which one do we assume you actually meant? A dollar a month or $12 for the year? So that's going to bring us into the sugya of tfos lashon rishon or tfos lashon achron. Which of the lashonos that a person uses, when they use two lashonos that might have slightly different mashmaus, which one are they held to? Then at the very end of the daf, the Gemara is going to begin a discussion about who do we believe if there's a dispute between the maskir and the socher, where the rent has already been paid. They just argue about it. The socher says, yeah, I already paid it. The maskir says, no, you didn't. So who has neemah? And it's going to depend on timing, on whether it's during the Yimei Schirus, after the Yimei Schirus, on the day that the Schirus ends. So we're going to have that discussion, Bez Hashem, if we get to it today or if not tomorrow. So let's begin with the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Beis. Hamaskir Bais Chavero Maskir Chayiv Bedelas Baneger Uva Minol. The Maskir is responsible to provide a door, to provide the lock that you lock from the inside, and to provide the lock that you would lock the house with from the outside. Ubukaldav Shemaisa Uman, and anything that a typical person wouldn't know how to install, the masker has to make sure that the house comes equipped with such items, that the socher, when he moves in, shouldn't have to also call a carpenter in order to make his house livable. But anything that's not maisu uman, anything that's small things that anybody could do around the house that you don't need to call a professional for, is the socher's responsibility to take care of. Hazevel shel balabayis, any zevel, any manure that that animals leave in the chatzar, that belongs to the maskir. As far as things that could be used as zevel, the socher only has rights to the ashes that come out of the oven and that come off of the stovetop. That belongs to the socher, and he can use that as zevel, but the actual zevel that is dropped by behemos in the chatzar, that belongs to the maskir and not to the socher. So Tan Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes a brisa that elaborates on the responsibilities of the maskir. Hamaskir b'ras chaveru maskir chayv lahamidlo. The masker has to make sure that there are doors in the house. Lift off the chalonos. He has to open up windows. Typically, chalonos means like skylights, where its primary function is to allow for light into the house. The Ritva writes, we're talking about a house that doesn't have any windows, so the masker has to provide windows, even if he said to him that the house comes without windows, because since you're being masker, a house for the guy to live in, it has to be a bias that's ru'uya ledira, and if it doesn't have any natural light that could come into into the house, then it's not roi l'dira at all. So even though you told him it doesn't have any windows, the assumption is that by the time he moves in, it will have windows. That's how the Ritva understands. Muki Yosef quotes that from the Rambam in Hilchos Chirus, that we're talking about a case where they'd always had windows, but somehow the windows got ruined. So the Muki Yosef explains that the Rambam is disagreeing with that Ritva, and really the Raivin, according to the Shittim Bet, says the same thing, and holds that if you really rent a house without any windows, and that was the deal, then you don't have to provide the guy with windows. But if it's an assumption, it's a regular house, and it didn't have windows, so then the masker has to make sure that it does. L'chazik l'tikra, if the beams start getting weak and it needs to be reinforced, the maskir has to do that. Lismach lo kora, and if the roof starts sinking a little bit and you need to put a support beam, so the maskir has to provide the support beam. And v'socher chayiv lasos lo sulam, the socher has to bring the ladder that he's going to use to go up to the roof when he needs to. V'lasos lo maka, the socher is the one that's responsible to make a maka around the roof. In Agos Maimonios and Hashulchan, they say Minat Torah, really the chiv of Makkah is on the maskir, because the Sifri, the Medrash and Devarim writes that we have an extra riboy to learn that a lokeach and a yoresh are chayiv in a Makkah. It sounds like, yeah, lokeach and a yoresh are chayiv in a Makkah, because now they are the real rightful owners of that property, but a socher is not really the rightful owner of the property, it's just someone who's renting the property. So the implication is that Mida Oraisa, it's really the maskir's responsibility to put up the Makkah, not the socher's responsibility. Aye, but the Brisa tells us socher is chayiv. Yeah, that's midrabanan, because he's the one that's living in the house. So midrabanan, he has a responsibility to put up the mezuzah, which leads the Minchas Chinuch to an interesting chakira. The Minchas Chinuch, mitzvah tavkuf memvav, says, okay, so midaraisa, the masker has to put up the mezuzah. Midrabanan, the socher has to put up the mezuzah. What is the nature of that din midrabanan? Did the rabanan shift the responsibility from the maskir to the socher, or did the rabbanan say, in addition to the responsibility of the maskir, if the maskir doesn't do his job, the socher has chiv midrabbanan to do it as well? But the responsibility still remains on a daraisa level with the maskir. So Minchas Chinuch says nafkamina would be, what would happen if they both want to put up the mezuzah? They both want to do the put up the makkah, rather. They're both interested in doing the mitzvah. So if the mitzvah midaraisa remains with the maskir, so then the maskir has rights to that mitzvah. So he could say, I want to do it. I want the opportunity to do the mitzvah. But if the rabbanan actually shifted the mitzvah from the maskir to the socher, then the maskir does not have the ability to say that he's the one that's going to put up the makkah. V'lasos lo marzev, and also the socher's responsibility is to put up a gutter system around the house for the water to drain away from the roof, and also to lime or pitch the roof in order that rain should not come, should not leak into the house. So they asked Rav Sheshes, what about a mezuzah? We did, in that whole brisa, we didn't discuss who's responsible for the mezuzah. So mezuzah, what do you mean? Mezuzah, chavas hadori. Don't we know that a mezuzah is a chiv on the whoever lives there? The socher is the one that lives in the house, so of course he's going to have the chiyuv to put up the mezuzah. Why would you be mesupak about whose responsibility it is to put up a mezuzah? So it says, well, no, you misunderstood the question. The question was, who has to put up the mezuzah? Ella mekom mezuzah almi. It used to be that the way they would do a mezuzah is that they would carve out into the doorpost a little hole. You could see in the old city sometimes, you walk around, that they have carved into the doorpost where you would stick the mezuzah inside. So that takes some work to chisel out the stone. These stone doorposts, to chisel out the stone to make a place to put the mezuzah. Whose responsibility is it to create that space for the mezuzah? But of course, the actual mezuzah is a chavas hadar, and that's why there's a sefer in Hilchos Mezuzah called chavas hadar, because that's what a mezuzah is. It's a chavas hadar, that it's the obligation of the socher, certainly, to put up the mezuzah. Why is it a chavas hadar? The Gemara Menachos and Daf Lamed Daled darshins from the fact that the Torah says beisecha, it means derech bi'oscha, that the one who's going to be going in and out, the one who's going to be using that house, so that's the one who's obligated on mezuzos Pesecha, so that's the one who has to put up the mezuzah. Shidim Gwetzis quotes Rabbeinu Yonah's son, who says, no, the reason it's Chavos Adar is not because Be'yoscha, Be'yoscha, but rather it's because the mezuzah provides Shmira, and it provides Shmira for the people, for the residents of that home, for the people who live in that house. And therefore, it's the responsibility of the residents of that home to put up the mezuzah, because that's who's getting the Shmira of the mezuzah. The Maritz Chaya says that even though Rashi and Pesachim Davdalid seems to quote both of those reasons, the real reason is the Pasuk. Meaning the real reason is Derech Biascha is the Joshua from the Pasuk. The Shmira is just an additional reason. But that concept of Shmira seems to be a real concept when it comes to mezuzah. The Gemara Menachos Taf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis tells us that the mitzvah of putting the mezuzah, if you have a very wide door frame, you should put it on the Tefach HaSamuch to Rishos HaRabim. You should put it on the outermost tefach of the door frame, not like halfway through. If like it's you have this 3 feet long door frame, so you don't put it 1.5 feet in. You put it all the way in the tefach hasamuch l'rishus rabim, because the mezuzah is assumed to protect everything that's inside of it. So you want to keep it as far to the outside of the house as you possibly can, so that it will protect everything that's inside of it. In fact, the Gemara even gives a mashal. It says lo k'midas hakadosh baruch hu midas basar v'dam, that midas basar v'dam is that the melech is yoshev b'fnim v'ashom mibachutz, that the king sits in the innermost room and he's protected by layers and layers of security all around him. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not that way. He's the melech and he's the layer of security. He's the one on the outside. But the assumption is that it's a layer of security, that the mezuzah provides a sense of security. The Zohar writes, mezuzos is osios zoz maves, that maves is removed from the house, because the mezuzah protects a person protects the people in the house from maves. That's what we're going to see in a couple of minutes from now, that the maskir who removes the mezuzah from his house, ishto uban of mesim. And the Ritva writes, yeah, because mita keneged mita. If you're maskir bais to someone that had a mezuzah and you take those mezuzahs off, so you're leaving that person unprotected, the punishment is mita keneged mita. You didn't care to protect that person's family, so then the maskir's own family is not going to be protected. So that's why the mezuzah is a chiyuv on the socher, because he's the one that needs the protection, and also primarily because derech bi'ascha. Dvar Avraham points out that from Rashi it sounds like the chiyuv of the socher mezuzah is min haTorah, that derech bi'ascha is a drasha from a pasuk, that the socher is chayiv in mezuzah min haTorah. Tosfos, however, and many other Rishonim say that it's not true, that the chiyuv of the socher mezuzah is only midrabanan, that it's like a maritime, people shouldn't think he's living in a place without a mezuzah. So that's why if you're socher bayis b'chutz la'aretz, the halacha is that you're only chayiv mezuzah from once you've been there for 30 days. If you're not there for 30 days, then there's no chayiv mezuzah on a socher bayis b'chutz la'aretz. One of the more common halachic misconceptions, that people think they always have 30 days to put up a mezuzah. That is not true if you buy a house. If you buy a house, there's no doubt the chayiv starts immediately. When you're so cherbayis and dafka in chutz la'aretz, then there's 30 days to put up a mezuzah. So anyway, so the Gemara says, so the shaila was, who has to make the makom of the mezuzah? So Amalur Rav Sheshes Tnisua, Dover Shein Maisu Uman, Asochar Oseyu, Vainami Lav Maisu Uman Hu, that anything that's not a Maisu Uman is the Socher's responsibility, and this is not a Maisu Uman, because Efshar Hum, Beguvta dekanya. You could put the mezuzah in some sort of protective covering rather than chiseling out the stone of your door frame. And to put it in some sort of protective covering, what we call a mezuzah case, to put it into it, that doesn't take any like we typically do. That doesn't take any ma'isu uman. You don't need to be so skilled to be able to stick the mezuzah in the case. So that's not considered a ma'isu uman. There is a curious line that they quote from the Gra in the Hanhagas Hachasra Grazal, quoted by the Piskei Tshuva. Piskei Tshuva quotes a Hanhaga of the Gra not to wrap the mezuzah in anything, because if you wrap the mezuzah in something, it's a chatzitza between the mezuzah and the doorway. So the Acharim are very perplexed by that, because aside from the fact that no other posuk says such a thing, how could, first of all, how are you gonna, and practically, how are you going to attach the mezuzah to the wall? I mean, you're going to put a nail through the actual mezuzah? You would imagine that you're not allowed to do that, but it's also against the Gemara. The Gemara says that they would put the mezuzah in this kanya, in this covering, and therefore they say that maybe the Gra was suggesting something al pi Kabbalah that's not really true al pi Halacha, which doesn't really fit, because the Gra assumes that everything in Kabbalah conforms to Halacha. There aren't really any stiras between Kabbalah and Halacha. Reb Chaim Kanievsky quotes from the Chazon Ish in Derech Amunah that it's a toes. The Gra never said it, and it's a misunderstanding of what the Gra said. It's against the Farish Gemara. The Gemara says that you can put a mezuzah in a case, and that's what we do. We put a mezuzah in a case. Tan Rabbanan. So the Brisa tells us, a masker Brisa chavero al socher lasos a mezuzah. The socher's responsibility to put up a mezuzah. Ukshu yotze lo Now, chiddush lahalacha that we paskin like, and when the socher leaves the house, he should not take his mezuzahs with him. He should leave the mezuzahs in the house. But uminachri, if he rented a house from a nachri, not to be yad v'yetzei, then he can take, he should take the mezuzahs with him when he goes. And one time a guy took his mezuzahs with him when he left, and he buried his wife and his two sons, meaning it was considered to be a terrible thing that he took his mezuzahs when he left the house. Tosos raises the question on the bottom of Kufal from Beis, why is it also to take the mezuzah from the house, and if you're going to put it in another house, why is it any different from tzitzis, that you're allowed to take tzitzis from one beged and put it on another beged? So Tosos suggests that by mezuzah it's different, because mezuzah protects the house, so mazikim are going to come to the house, so it's going to cause whoever lives in that house next to be harmed. The Chachmas Menach explains that Tosos is saying that they can that before the next tenant has the opportunity to put up a mezuzah, within the first 30 days, it could cause him harm. The Ritva suggests that by mezuzah it's different, because through the mezuzah the kedusha shechina is chal in the house. So when you remove the mezuzah, you're removing the kedusha shechina, as opposed to tzitzis, it's just a chetzah mitzvah, it's not a kedusha shechina. So the mezuzah causes a certain sense of hashra'as hashechina. Whereas Tosfos and Shabbos says no, this whole halacha is only if you're taking off the mezuzah. You're not going to put them anywhere else. But if you're going to go move to another house and you put the mezuzahs in that house, so then it's mutter to do. So we assume not that way. We assume even if you're going to move to another house and you want to put the mezuzahs, you're not allowed to leave the house unprotected. It's just that the Rama just adds that, this is all in Yeridaya. But in Chosha Mishpat, you don't have an obligation to gift somebody expensive mezuzahs. You just paid $180 for each mezuzah to get really beautiful mezuzahs, and you put them up all over your apartment, and then the young couple decides that they're leaving Washington Heights after living there for 8 months. So all those mezuzahs, you have a din in Chosha Mishpat that you have to leave all those mezuzahs. No, so you could charge the next person that's moving into the house for those mezuzahs, or tell them as soon as you put up your own mezuzahs, please give me back my mezuzahs, because they still, those mezuzahs actually belong to you, and that's perfectly fine to do. Some came up with a chap. No, what you should do is buy real cheap mezuzahs, and you could take down your expensive mezuzahs and put up cheap mezuzahs and leave them with the cheap mezuzahs. I don't think that's such a great idea, because first of all, we shouldn't be putting up cheap mezuzahs at all. Most of them are possible. It's just not a good idea to be dealing with cheap mezuzahs. Much easier to just have a conversation with whoever the tenant is going to be. However, the Gemara says if you suck a bias minachri, then you take your mezuzahs with you, because the nachri may not know how to treat mezuzahs. A lot of times, even if you suck a bias mi Yisrael, but they're going to send in nachri workers to repaint the place and to do this. So if you're afraid that they're going to take the mezuzahs off the wall and just chuck them in the garbage, so that's a problem. So then you should remove the mezuzahs rather than leave them there if it's that kind of situation where they repaint or do things like that in between tenants. Anyway, the Gemara asks Maisa Listar that the Brisa initially said that if you rent a house from a nachri, you should take the mezuzah with you. And then the Brisa says, and a guy once took the mezuzah with him, and because of that, his wife and two children died. So that's a stira. So I'm Rav Sheshes Aresha. Now, the case where the guy took the mezuzah with him was not when he rented from a nachri. That was going back on the original case where he rented a house from a Yisrael. Then the Mishnah said, that the zevel belongs to the balabayis, to the maskir. The socher can only get the zevel that comes out of the oven. ovens. So b'mayaskinan, what is the case exactly? Ilim b'chatzer da'agil l'socher. If we're talking about a case that it was a chatzer that was actually rented to the socher didn't only rent the house, he also rented the chatzer. V'torid the socher, and the oxen that dropped that zevel belonged to the socher. Amay shel ba'al habayis. Well, then the halacha in the Mishnah is incorrect. It shouldn't belong to the maskir. That should belong to the socher. Ella b'chatzer d'lova gira l'socher. Must be talking about a chatzer that is not rented to the socher. Vitori the maskir. So the maskir kept the rights to the chatzer. The maskir is the one who owns those oxen that dropped the zevel. Well then, pshita. Well then, of course it belongs to the maskir. It's his chatzer, his animals. Why would it be anybody else? So it says, well, lo tzricha b'chatzer d'maskir vitori d'asu me'alma kamuba. No, the chatzer belongs to the maskir. He did not rent out the chatzer. Look, he gave the socher permission to use the chatzer so that he can get in and out of the house, right? The socher is allowed to be there to go in and out of the house, but the chatzer itself actually belongs to the masker, was not included in the rental agreement. And then some oxen from just came and, you know, from Hefker and dropped their zevel in the chatzer. So that's the chiddush that the masker is Kona that Zevel. So the Gemara says, ooh, so you see from here that if from the fact that it belongs to the Maskir, that Messiah that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, that's a raya to the sheet of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Dom Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Chatzeru Shladim Kona Lo Shlomi Daito, that a person's Chatzer can be Kona things for him, even though he doesn't know that the Hefker item is there. But once it's in his Chatzer is Kona for him, even though he has no knowledge of it. And that's what's happening in our Mishnah. The Zevel is left in his Chatzer, and he's Kona, even though he doesn't know anything about it. So Meisve, the Gemara challenges Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. We have a brisa in Mamar called Metzios Shiyava L'Tocho Hayom Tikun L'Chatzeri, that if a guy says, any Metzios that end up in my Chatzer, I want my Chatzer to be Kona for me, Lo Amar Klum. His Chatzer is not Kona because he's not going to know when those items enter into his Chatzer. V'yemisa L'Hadam Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina Chatzer Shalom Kona L'Shalom Midaito Amai Lo Amar Klum. But if you really hold like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, the Chatzer Shaladim is Kono Shalomi Daito, that a person's Chatzer can make a Kinyan on his behalf, even though he's totally unaware of it, why are we saying Lo Amar Klum? It should be able to be Kona for him. So says Marach Meiskin, B'Chatzer Shin Mishtameres. Now that Brisa, where it says that his Chatzer is not Kona for him, where it's Lo Amar Klum, it's talking about a Chatzer that's Eina Mishtameres, a Chatzer that is not protected. So Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina's Moda, that such a Chatzer is not going to be able to be Kona Shalomi Daito. It needs to be a protected, guarded chatzer. If that's the case, that it's chatzer she'ena mishtameres, well, Ema Seifa, you got to read the end of that very brisa. That if it says that any metzios that come into my chatzer, I want my chatzer to be kona for me, and yotzalo shei metzia be'ir, and then there was a rumor in the city that there were actually were metzios in his chatzer. A deer wandered into his chatzer, a river overflowed into his chatzer, and then the water receded and left a whole bunch of fish in his chatzer. So there are all these metzios that end up in his chatzer, and people know about it. Dvar of Kayamin, then his chatzer is actually going to be kona for him. But wait a second, we just made an ukimta that the Brice is talking about a chatzer, she'ena mishtameres, an unprotected chatzer. Well, kiyatzel she'metzia b'yir mayhavi. Why does it matter then that people know that there are metzios in the chatzer? It should be irrelevant. It's chatzer she'ena mishtameres, it cannot be kona lo, shalom idaito. Why does it help? Meaning, if we would not have held like Rabbi Yossi, and you would need his das to be for his chatzer to be kona. So I understand that in the Sefer, that once it's Yotze Kol Mistama, he knows about it as well. And if he knows about it as well, so then it's saying that his Chatzer is Kona. And in the Reisha, where he's not Kona, it's talking about a case where he didn't know about it. But both the Reisha and the Sefer are talking about a Chatzer Mishtameres. But according to Shitus Rabbi Yossi, that you don't need the guy's Das, so we're talking about a Chatzer Sheina Mishtameres, so now we have our Kasha. Now we don't understand what's the difference between the Reisha and the Sefer. If you don't need the guy's Das, the guy's Das is totally irrelevant, and we already made an akimta that we're talking about a chatzer sheni mishtameres, but it needs to be a chatzer mishtameres to be kona. So how come he's kona in the seifa? So it says Mark, even diyotzal shem etziyah beir mivdal bedili inchi mina v'havila kachatzer mishtameres. Even though it's not mishtameres in the conventional sense, it doesn't have a fence around it or people protecting it. But once everyone knows that there's a metziyah that landed in that guy's chatzer, no one's going to want to mess with him. No one's going to want to start up with him. They know it's already in his chatzer. They're not going to want to go into his chatzer, trespass into his chatzer, and take things because everyone knows it's there already. So that because of that, it's considered as if it's chatzer mishtameres, because it's the kind of thing that's at least lo na'im. Ra'im. It's not pleasant for people to go into that chatzar and take things when everyone's going to realize that that's what they're doing. So now the Gemara challenges Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina a second time. So again, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina is the one that said the chatzar shalom is konelo shalomi daito. You don't need das in order for your chatzar to be kona. We had one challenge from a brisa. Now challenge number two. Meisve, we have a brisa. Zevel yotze min atar min akarayim have a kolit min avir. Any zevel that comes from the oven or from the stovetop, or that which you hold the kli underneath the para that's standing in the chatzar, and as the para relieves itself, you catch the zevel in the kli, harei shalom. So that belongs to the socher. The socher gets to keep that. V'shebarefes, v'shebachatzar, and any zevel that ends up in the refes or in the chatzar, shel balabais. That belongs to the maskir. The socher is not entitled to that. But v'emisala, the Rebbe Rabbi Chanina, if Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina were really correct, amar chatzar shalom, chon shalom idaito, then a chatzar could be called for a person, shalom idaito, kolit me'avir me'arei shalom. How can the socher be called it by catching the excrement of the animal in a kli? Avir chatzeruhu. After all, when it comes out of the animal, it's in the avir of the maskir's chatzer. Chatzer belongs to the maskir. The maskir's chatzer should be kona for him, shalom idaito. So how can the socher have any rights to it? So two answers. Amar Abaye, b'mad b'kli b'shulei para. That maybe you didn't just hold the kli under the para, but you actually stuck the kli onto the, you held it really tight on the para, and therefore it never got into the avir of the chatzer, it went straight into the avir of the kli. Rava Amar Rava says a different answer. Avir shein sofa lenuach, lav kumunach tami. That any time the avir is not going to, that which lands in the, that which comes into the avir is not destined to land in the chatzer, we don't consider it as if it is in the chatzer, and therefore even though the avir of the chatzer is like the chatzer, that's only when it's sofa lenuach. But over here it's not sofa lenuach, so such avir Chatzer is not going to be able to be kona on behalf of the maskir. So ask more, mi pshitle the Rava, is that so pashal to Rava that Avir Shein Sofa Lenuach is not able to be kona? Vami bayi bayi la, didn't Rava once ask a shaila about this? To bayi Rava, Rava was asked about the following case. A person was mafkir his wallet, and zarek arniki v'pesach zeh v'yatzasam pesach zeh, and he threw the wallet and went into one entrance the way of the chatzar and went out the other end of the chatzar. So all it did is it floated through the airspace of the chatzar, but never actually landed in the chatzar. So Mahu, who owns it? Does the Bala chatzar own it because it went through the avir of his chatzar or not? So avir shein sofa lenuach kimunach dami, alav kimunach dami. What this shaila really is, do we view avir where it's not destined to land in that space as if it is in that space and therefore the Bala chatzar is able to be kona? Or do we say, no, it's not sofa lenuach, it's lav kimunach dami, and it's not considered to be in that space of the chatzer. So says Mara Hasam. So you see that Rava had this shaila that it wasn't pasha to Rava that when it's not sofa lenuach that it's not kimunach dami. Says Gemara, no Hasam lo mifsak velo midi, because over there by the wallet that you threw through the airspace of the chatzer, there was nothing. There was no barrier between the ground of the chatzer and the wallet. But hacha mifsak kli. But over here we're talking about a case where you had a kli catching the dung from the animal, and therefore that kli is mafsik between the ground of the chatzer and that which you are acquiring, that which is going through the airspace of the chatzer. The Gemara explains the rest of the brisa. Then said once we mentioned this brisa, we only mentioned this brisa because of the halacha of catching the excrement, which was avir chatzer. So we only mentioned it for that reason because we wanted to ask on Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina from the brisa. But the brisa happened to have mentioned that the manure you find in the refes and in the chatzer belongs to the balabais, belongs to the maskir. So we'll just explain that part of the brisa as well. V'shebarefes, v'shebachatzer, reil shel balabais. The brisa went on to say that whatever zevel you find in the refes and in the chatzer belongs to the balabais. So it says, Martarti, you need to tell me twice about the zevel in the chatzer and also the zevel in the refes. They're both talking about where you weren't maskir, the refes or the chatzer. So there's no chiddush. It belongs, it's maskish property. So of course it belongs to the maskir. Why do you need to tell me both of these halachos? So Amar Abaye Hachi Kamer v'shabrefes shebechatzer harei l'shal balabayis. That no, it's saying a single case. If it's a refes that's found in a chatzer, meaning the guy was maskir the chatzer, but he wasn't maskir the refes in the chatzer. So the refes in the chatzer, it would still belong to the maskir and not to the socher. Amar Vashi zos omeres hamaskir chatzer ustam lo hizkir refes shabah. So you see clearly from this brisa that if you maskir the chatzer, you're not maskir the refes along with the chatzer. So now the Gemara asks from a third brisa on Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. Meisvei, we have a third kasha Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina when it comes to the mitzvah of shiluach hakan. Yonei shavach v'yonei aliyah. You have birds that are in the field and in the and they go out to gather food from wherever, from out in the world, and then in the evening they come back to a shovach that's in the chatzar, or they come back to an aliyah sabayis, meaning they come back into your private property. Chayavos b'shiluach. There is a mitzvah. The balabayis is a mitzvah of shiluach hakein. If the mother is hovering over the babies, vasuros begezel, and no one else is allowed to steal it. Mipnei darkei shalom, midrabanan, mipnei darkei shalom. No one else is allowed to take those birds. It's considered as if it belongs to the guy who owns that property. But if we really hold the Rabbi Yisrael Chanina that a person's chatzer has the ability to be kona on his behalf, even without his das, kari kan ki yikare prat l'mezuman. Why should he be chayv in shluach hakein? That any bird nest that's on your property that you own, there is no mitzvah shluach hakein. Right? Whenever I get the shayla, someone says, I found a bird nest on my property, should I do the mitzvah? Part of the mitzvah first is to be mafkir it, to make sure that it's not yours. Because if it's yours, then there is no mitzvah. Then it's prat l'mezuman. There is no mitzvah shluach hakein when it's mezuman. So if Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina is really right, that chatzer shalom is kanu shalom idaita, there should be no mitzvah shluach hakein over here. So I'm rava beitza b'yitzias ruba. That the Gemara answers from the time Rove of a Beitza comes out, who did chayv ala b'shiluach? Right away, there's already a mitzvah of shiluach hakein. Umikna lo kanya, but you don't own that Beitza ad enough l'chatzeru until it fully is out into your chatzer. V'chi katani chayv b'shiluach mikamid tipa l'chatzeru. Wow, it's talking about a very, very narrow case in this brisa. We're talking about a case where you managed to find the bird as the beitza was half out of its body and not yet fully out before it fell into the chatzer. So it's not a kasha Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, because the brisa about shiluach is talking about where the beitza didn't fall into the chatzer yet. So memela, your chatzer wasn't koneid for you, and therefore you're chayv in shiluach. Well, if your chatzer wasn't koneid for you, would there be any yisur gezel in those beitzim? Says the Gemara, aiman. The mother, there's an Isser Gezel. Because someone who takes the mother is violating Gezel Midrabanan, because it's the owner of that property wants to acquire whatever birds come into that property, because he knows they're going to keep coming back every evening, and therefore for that you're not allowed to take Mimde Darkei Shalom. V'iba Yaseima li olam abeitzim. Or maybe really the Isser of stealing is going on the eggs, Mimde Darkei Shalom. V'umidinafik ruba daite ilava. And once Rove of the Beitza comes out, you plan on taking it for yourself, and therefore it's asur mishum gezel mipnei darkei shalom, meaning you're not actually kona on a daraisa level, but mipnei darkei shalom, you have your mind on it, and therefore it's going to be asur mishum gezel. But the mitzvah of shiluach hakein is already operative mida oraisa. So the Gemara answers another way to answer this braisa against, you know, that we've brought to be a kasha on Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. V'ashad dom Rabbi dom Rav asul lezakos beitim kolzman sheim rovetz saleim. Once we learned what Rabbi Dom Rav says, that you're not allowed to make a kinyan on the eggs so long as the mother is still hovering over them. Shemar shalech to shalech esaim v'hadar esabanim tikach lach. That first you need to send away the mother, and only then can you take the eggs. Well, then afilu teim b'denafel lachatzero. You could even say that the eggs already fell into the chatzer, and you chayiv in shiluach because it's not considered mezuman because it's not yours. I mean, the whole reason you're not allowed to you don't do the mitzvah shiluach hakein when something's in your property is because we assume you were already kona it. But if the mother is still hovering over it, so then you don't have the right to be kona it. Anytime you can't be kona yourself, if you would not be allowed to acquire those eggs, then your chatzar is unable to acquire those eggs. And therefore, those eggs are not considered to be acquired yet, and therefore you still have a mitzvah of shiluach hakein. Ask the Gemara, ihachi, asurus because of darkei shalom. What do you mean? That it's asur of gezel because of darkei shalom. If we're talking about that the gazlan sent away the mother before he took the eggs, gezel ma'al yehu, then it's real gezel gamur, because as soon as he sends away the mother, the balachotzer is the owner of those eggs. So that's not gezel nedarkei shalom, that's mamish stealing. And idelo shilcha, if he didn't send away the mother, habay shlucha, he's not mekayim in the midst of shiluach, so he has a chi of shiluach min haTorah. So why does the Braisa say that someone who takes the beitim is in violation of gezel midrabanan? He's in violation of a daraisa, failure for shiluach hakein. So says the Gemara, no, we're talking about someone who has no chi of in the midst of shiluach hakein. Bekatan delav bar shiluachu. We're talking about a katan who is not chayv in the midst of shiluach, and therefore there's no iser Torah. So says the Gemara, well, katan bar darkei shalom, the katan is going to have a chiv midrabanan to return that which he took because of darkei shalom. I mean, we're trying to thread the needle over here. We're trying to say you have a person who, from a shiluach hakein perspective, is allowed to take these eggs. He doesn't have to worry about it. But if he takes them from a gezel perspective, it's not gezel midarais, it's gezel midarkei shalom. Well, if we're talking about an adult who already did the shiluach, then it would be gezel midaraisa, because the balachatzer would already own the eggs. So that's out. So it must be that we're talking about that he didn't do the shiluach. Well, if he didn't do the shiluach, forget about his gezel midarkei shalom. He's got a mitzvah shiluach. So he said, no, it's a katan, so he's got no mitzvah shiluach. Well, if he's got no mitzvah shiluach, why is it gezel midrabanan, and then you have to return him midarkei shalom? A katan doesn't have dinim of darkei shalom. So it says, Gemara, hachi kamar. That a parent of that child has to say, listen, we have to walk, march right over to that neighbor's house and give back those eggs. That's what he has to do. That's what the father has to do. Okay, so now we move on to the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Beis Amanav. Says the Mishnah, someone rents a house to his friend for a year, and then they add an extra month onto the year. So Nisabra L'socher, Socher gets a free month, right? They say nothing comes free in life. This does, right? He rents a house for a year, and then last month, they add an extra month onto the year, so that belongs to the socher. But if he rented it out month by month, meaning I'm renting it, you know, for X number of dollars per month, and then there's another month in the year, so then the maskir gets an extra month's worth of rent. There was a story in Sipori where someone rented a merchatz from his friend. And he said it's going to be 12 dinars of for a year, one dinar of for each month. And it came to two gedolei atanoim, and they said that they should divide the chodesh ibur. They should split it. That last month's rental payment, you should pay half rent on that month. So says Gemara right off the bat. Maisa listar. Where do you find that the Mishnah quotes a din, and then right away tells a story that's so the din, because in this Maisa it doesn't say that we just quoted a din that it depends. If it was by the month, then the maskir wins. If it's by the year, then the sokhar. And now we're just splitting it. So it says, Mar chisuri mechsov achi ketani. You have to add a line into the Mishnah. V'imamelo b'shnei matzuzuvim l'shana. Midin azov l'chodesh. If the maskir says to the sokhar, it's going to be 12 zuvim for a year and one dinar for each month, yachloku. Since you use both l'shonos, the maskir and the sokhar split that extra month, and the sokhar will pay half of the rent for that month. Umaisanami bitzipori, and then we quote the mice in Tzipori that backs up this idea. So that mice carries out, it follows exactly from the extra line that we need to add into the Mishnah. He says, you know, if I would have been a dayan and this mice came to me, I would have said that everything goes to the maskir. You got to pay full rent, not like Rav Shmuel Gamliel and Rav Yossi said that you only pay half rent for that month. So, Mike Kamashmalan, what is Rav teaching me when he says that he would have paskin that way. Tfos l'shnachron. What he's teaching me is if they use two lashonos, one lashon where they said that shneimas zuvim lashana, and the other lashon where they said dinar zav l'chodesh, I would have followed the second lashon that is dinar zav l'chodesh, and you got to pay for the whole month. Well, that's what Rav is teaching me. Ha'amar Rav Chadazimna. Rav already taught me that we always say Tfos Lashnachron. Dam Rav Huna Amri Bei Rav, because Rav Huna reported that they said in the Rav's Beis Medrash, in his name, that if a person asks for a price of a particular object, and he says, Istira Me'a Ma'i, that it's an, I'll give you an Istira, which is a certain type of coin, Me'a Ma'i, which is 100 prutos, and we don't know what he has to pay him, because that Istira coin is really only worth 96 prutos, but he used two lashonos. He said an estira, which sounds like 96 prutos, then he said mea mai, 100 prutos. So mea mai, then the halacha is, you got to pay mea mai. But if he said mea mai, estira, if he flipped it and he said mea mai first, and then he said estira, then he only has to pay the estira. So you see very clearly that Rav holds tfos lashon achron. So what's Rav telling me over here that we say tfos lashon achron? Of course. So it says, no, ime hasam, if we only wanted to prove that according to Rav, you say tfos Lashon Achron. If you would have wanted to prove that Rav holds Tfos Lashon Achron on the rental of a Merchatz from there, from the case of the Istira Me'ama, I would have thought it's not a good proof, because Hava Amina Prushe Kamefaresh. I would have thought that which Rav is Mechayev the guy, the based on his last words, it's not because Rav Paskins Tfos Lashon Achron, but rather because we assume that the Lashon Achron is just being Mefaresh the Lashon Rishon, that it's not really a stira between the two statements. He's just clarifying what he meant. But over here, there's an actual stira between the two statements. There's the monthly payment, and there's the annual payment. So Kamashmalan, that's why he's teaching us that Rav in fact holds Tfos Lashon Achron. That's Rav. The Gemara says, and what does Shmuel hold? Shmuel Amar, Bibabi Yemtze Chodesh Askinan. No, the case in our Mishnah where we said you pay half of that 13th month's rent is talking about where you came in the middle of the 13th month. And the Maskir tells the Socher, get out of here, unless you pay me the whole month. So we're not sure which Lashon was the Iker. If the Lashon Rishon was the Iker, that the Schirus is for a whole year, or the Lashon Achron, that it's month by month, and therefore Misafik, we say, that keep the Cheskas Mamun by the Bailin. So since he's already lived in that house for half a month, so he's entitled to that half a month for free. He wants to continue living for the next half a month? Well, you're going to have to pay for that, because it's the house belongs to the maskir, so he's the muchsak. In Babit Chilas Chodesh, Kule the maskir. But if the maskir thinks of it at the beginning of the month, and he says, please pay rent now for this coming month, or get out, well, then the maskir has the right to, because he's the muchsak. Babit Sof Chodesh, if he comes at the end of the month, after the sokh has already lived there, Kule the socher. Then it belongs entirely to the socher. Says Mar Miyom Shmuel Amrin Tfos Lashon Achron. That means Shmuel does not hold Tfos Lashon Achron. The Shmuel says we just go with the Muchsak. But didn't Rav and Shmuel both say that if a person sells Tavua or Peros to someone, he says Kor B'Shloshim Ani Mochalach, I'm selling you a Kor for 30 Sa'ah. You could be chozer even if you did a kinyan on everything up until the last sa'a. Kor b'shloshim sa'a b'sela ani mochalach. But if you say, I'm selling you a kor for shloshim, one sela for each sa'a that I'm selling you, then rishon kana, as he's kana each sa'a, that's a final kinyan. So you see that it's false lashon achron that you do sa'a by sa'a. So it says, marahasam time amai. No, over there, the reason he can't be chozer is mishum to tafis, because he's mukh already in that which he was in the se'im that he already took. Hachanami katafis. So from that, for that same reason, in our Mishnah, Shmuel holds that the socher is holding the demei aschirus, and if the maskir comes in the beginning of the month where he's muchsuk in the house, so he says, I'm holding on to the house. Rav Nachman omer karka b'cheskas ba'aleh kayemes. Rav Nachman says, really, when it mentions a year and it mentions month, the months the socher has to pay the maskir, not like it says in our Mishnah where it's yachloku. And the reason the socher has to pay is because the karka is b'chaskas pa'aleh kayemes. The karka is in the maskir's rishus. He's the one that's muhtar. Pusak in it. Mike Mashmalan, Tfos Lashon Achron. So he seems to just be saying Tfos Lashon Achron, Hainu de Rav, which is exactly what Rav said. So he says, no, it's not what Rav said. Avgav da Apich Meipach. Rav says you always go with the Lashon Achron, regardless of which is the Lashon Achron. What Rav Nachman is saying is that the Maskir always wins, because the Maskir is Muchsuk in the house. So even if the Lashon Achron would have pointed in the direction of the Socher, that the Lashon Achron would have been about the annual rate and not about the monthly rate, still Rav Nachman is going to say that the Maskir is going to win. Okay, but from tomorrow, we'll pick up with the Shaila of Bo Minei, May Rabbi Yanei. Everyone have a wonderful day.